Up our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 13. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for this day of life. Lord, we certainly are thankful for salvation. Thankful for salvation, dear Lord, the song says, that word so divine. I know in my heart what it means, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful for that, dear Lord. We're thankful for the revelation, dear Lord, that you taught to our hearts one day. It let us know, dear Heavenly Father, that we need to get ready. We need to prepare to get ready to stand before you, dear Lord. Many people in the world, they have a thought and a mindset that they're going to heaven. But, dear Lord, they're not doing anything to prepare, dear Heavenly Father. They're not making any arrangements, dear Lord. But, dear Heavenly Father, you showed us one day, and we're thankful that we received it. And, dear Lord, we're thankful it's been a joy to our life, dear Heavenly Father. And we're thankful that you help us to set us on a good, strong foundation. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm not looking for something else. Well, there's somewhere else, dear Lord. You set our mind in a place to where it's a strong foundation. The man that said he found a pearl of great price. The only father, that pearl that was worth more than all that he had ever searched for or had in his own life. And he sold everything he had that he might obtain that one pearl. And Lord, we're thankful that we realize that salvation through Christ is that pearl of great price. And Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one that's here this morning. The Lord, help us, dear Heavenly Father, to open up our ears and our minds and our hearts to the Spirit of the Word of God, that you may help us to gain some strength, some encouragement, some blessings as we go forward through the Word this morning. We ask you to be with us, bless us through this service, anoint me and bless me, and that I'll bring the Word just as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, and most of this chapter Jesus is speaking here. And we're going to give a parable that Jesus gave that very familiar with us. Picking up in verse 18. Again, Jesus is saying here, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. And this is he which received the seed by the wayside. And he that received the seed into the stony ground, on the stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and none with joy receive it, yet he hath not root in himself, endureth for a while. For when tribulations or persecutions arise, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He is also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and careth for the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. I want to look at verse 23 for just a second here. And we'll reread that again. And he says, Jesus says, but he that receives seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100 and some 60 and some 30. My thought for the message this morning is talking about receiving the word of God. He that receiveth the seed and accepts it. He that receiveth the seed and accepts it. And each and every one of these grounds, as we read, and we'll go back over them briefly here a little bit, and each and every one of these grounds, we want to recognize the wording in here. It sort of stood out to me here. There's a wording in here. The seed received it. Every single one of the grounds. This parable that Jesus is bringing here is actually a parable of the whole, of everyone. Everyone in the world is of one of these seeds. You're either on one of the four seeds, whether it's the thorny ground, the stony ground, the good ground, all these grounds, the wayside ground. Every single individual in the world is a part of one of these seeds.
And what I want to make mention here, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but want to make mention, every single person in the world will receive the Word of God. I want us to take note of that and think about it. The Bible teaches us that. The Bible indicates us that. That the Bible lets us know that Jesus says, when you stand before me on that final judgment day, when God gathers all the nations together and we stand before him, and you're going to be judged according to the word that he given to you. Now, in our minds, we don't understand all those things. I remember when God dealt with my heart. I remember very well when God dealt with my heart and talked to my mind. It was real. Nobody else really knew it. I could have rejected God. I could have said, I don't want anything to do with that, and leave. And maybe no one would have ever known that God had ever dealt with me unless I'd have told him. And sometimes we see our families, we see friends, we see individuals. You may give a testimony to, you may tell them about the things of God, and we don't really know how God deals with their hearts and their minds. But I want to be assured for each and all of us to be encouraged, because sometimes I thought about when Brother Burt mentioned that he gave a revival notice to the individual there. You know, we don't know what God can take that. That's how God dealt with me. Someone I was brought up through Sunday school, but I was coming to an age, I was ready to move on with life, graduating high school and go on with life. And somebody gave me an invitation to come to a revival in October of 1981. And my thought in my mind, this is what I said in my mind, I want nothing to do with it. And God could have taken that and left me alone and I'd be done. But I said, I don't want nothing to do with it. I told the individual that gave me that notice, I said, I'll think about it. But somewhere, and I don't remember how or what, but somewhere within the next couple weeks or week or so, God started to deal with my heart. No one knew that. No one talked to me outside of that. But God started to deal with me, and there was only one place that I wanted to be, and that was here. And I don't even know why. I mean, I understand that now because it was the Spirit of God dealing with me. And through coming, the Spirit of God dealt with my heart. So when I say this, every single individual, every single soul upon the face of the earth, and we don't know of how God may use us to deliver a part of the word, might be so small, it might be a song, it might be a testimony, it may be an invitation. We don't understand it all, but God can use it. So be encouraged with that. Every single individual in the world, every single soul will receive the word of God. Look in verse 19. The last part of this, verse 19, he talked about the seed here, which is the wayside. And verse 19, the last part, this is he which received seed by the wayside. He received it. He was given it. It was given to him. Verse 20, the stony place. But he that received the seed is in the stony place. Verse 22, among the thorns. He that receives seed among the thorns. And then in verse 23, the last part there. But he that receives seed into the good ground. All four seeds, all four grounds, they received the word of God. See, I think there's a lot of people out there, they want to try to reject it. They want to try to remain neutral. They don't want to be held responsible for knowing this, thinking that they won't be held accountable. But God is faithful. Amen. To every single soul upon the face of this earth, somewhere they will receive the word of God. Now, this isn't the Bible, but I look at it this way. Somewhere God's going to say, here's the word. What are you going to do with it? And you know, if I can walk up to you and I can say, here's the word of God, or here's the word here, and you know, you have the option to take it or not. Well, the Lord lets us know you're going to take it. Now, what you do with it after that is your responsibility. But you will receive it. When I give you something, it's not received until you take it from me. You will receive the word of God. You will take the word of God because the Lord is faithful that way. Now, when we think about that, through the word, the Bible teaches us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the preaching. But we realize that the seed of the word of God is brought either through the word, through the preaching, through our testimonies, or the Spirit of God. See, a lot of people want to try to deny maybe what you and I say to them, but they cannot deny what the Spirit of God says to them. As I said, when someone gave me that invitation, I wanted nothing to do with it. But the Spirit of God started to deal with my heart. No one else said another word to me. Not a soul. Nobody even had any idea. I had no desire to make arrangements to go to revival in October of 81. I had no desire. I had no thoughts. But the Spirit of God started to talk to me. So we think about it, the Spirit of God is faithful, and every single soul that lives upon the face of the earth, the Spirit of God will give you the Word of God. You will receive it. You will receive it.
God will make sure of those things. My thought for this morning is, how is our attitude towards receiving the Word of God? Even as saints, even as we get saved, I thank God that when He deals with our hearts through the Word, through the Spirit, and we receive it and we accept it and we get saved, there's still a part of receiving the Word of God. We never get to a place in life where we stop receiving the Word of God.
Amen.
Never. We always have to grow. You know, I think about, and I trust from time to time, and I may have mentioned this from time to time, most of us that have been saved for a length of period of time, you know, you've been saved 30, 40 years or so, there's not much in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation you can probably choose and you kind of know the stories. You can go through Genesis, through Exodus, and you can start reading the stories and you kind of know a little bit. There might be some small details in there and all. And I don't know if you've read it on it sometimes. I know a lot of times back here and studying and things, and I've mentioned this. Sometimes I remember one particular specific time I was back here, and I was like 2 days. I sat back here 2 days. And Lord, I have nothing. I cannot get any thoughts. I can't get anything. I know Sister Ann wrote that song, and I know people that write songs, they call them writer's block. And that's what it was. And I just stopped, and I started to pray. I said, Lord, I can't do this. I need your help. I need you to help me. And within a few moments, when I went back to studying, God gave me a thought. You know, as saints of God, we may know the Word of God from front to back very well, but when's the last time you've sat down and meditated on the thing and said, Lord, show me something in here? How many times have you read verses or whatever, and you might have read the same verse 100 times, but something popped out a little bit different? When's the last time you've asked God to show you something? To reveal something a little special. I'm not talking about some big revelation, but to just allow the Spirit of God to help us. We will receive the Word of God, but how is our attitude towards receiving God's Word? Every soul will receive the Word. And many times, and we may think many times, as I said, many people, they don't care. Ever give your testimony or told somebody about the things of God, or giving them invitation, and the attitude of their thought is, I don't care? Probably face it a lot. But I said, don't get discouraged. They may turn from us. We may never talk to them again, never be involved with them again, but the Spirit of God can deal with that soul. The Spirit of God, we need to be encouraged with that thought. That as we, whatever tool or usage God uses of us to deliver the Word of God in any way, shape, or form, God can use it. But people may not care. People may not seem to be paying attention. If you don't think that, preach a couple messages sometimes. So I wonder if they're even paying a bit of mind what's going on. But you know what I believe too? And there may be some people, they may be sitting here and their mind's 1,000 miles away. But you know, that God can bring a message to a particular point that they need, and God can wake them up just at that point. So we need to have confidence in the Spirit of God. This isn't just a random thing. We hope, we kind of a gamble of things. God is faithful. And He says, Jesus says in this parable, every single ground, every single life will receive the Word of God. They will receive it. We think that they don't pay attention, they don't care, they're not getting anything out of it, but they will receive the Word of God. Now, Whether they receive it, and we said that they will receive it, and when they receive it, whether they will be receptive or not is up to them. If I give someone the Word of God, and I was talking to somebody just the other day, we were involved in pretty deep conversation. And see, a lot of people like to look at the problems of the church, of religion. Let's just say religion in general. And there are a lot of problems. There are a lot of things that people can really, in the outward, say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with religion because of look what's happened. Not just Church of God, but all churches across the nation, any denominational church. And I brought it to the individual. I said, it doesn't matter about all those things. God will judge you for what you know in the Word of God.
Amen.
God's going to judge you. And if you don't read the Bible, if you don't understand it, well, I don't understand it, but if you don't read it, you don't study it out, you don't look into it, God's going to hold you accountable. It's our responsibility. Amen. But we can say, well, even in biological family, you know, our brothers, you know, our brothers or our sisters have offended us. And our natural families, or our families have offended us, church has offended us, and this thing. But as I said in my own testimony at the beginning, God has never offended me. God has never forsaken me. And we live a Christian life to God, not to anybody else. I thank God He saves us and puts us in the church to be a working part of the church of God. But there will be some offenses. There will be some things that hurt us. There will be some things that disturb us. But our consecration should be to that of God.
Yes,
how are we receiving the Word? How are we being receptive to the Word of God? Are people being receptive? I thank God I brought the thought the other week or so about the Ethiopian eunuch. I believe the story was he went to Jerusalem that time for the worship time, and something triggered in his mind to start studying the things of God. He received something, and it was his desire to be receptive to figure this out and find it out. And thank God, God was faithful to send Philip there along with him. The word receptive means able or inclined to receive, especially open and responsive to ideas, impressions, or suggestions. I know that's kind of a general definition. Be receptive. You know, some people, a lot of times on the job, people aren't too receptive of what you tell them. I tell you, we're living in an unusual time. You know, it used to be people you can reprimand them on the job. You could reprimand them in things of life, and they had to accept it. They knew to accept it. Today, that's not the case. You can't reprimand anybody. You can't reprimand anybody from going out there robbing a store or doing it, you know, whatever. It's ridiculous. Being receptive, able or inclined to receive, especially open and responsive to ideas. So are you inclined to receive the Word of God? Are you have a desire to receive the Word of God? You know, we preach and teach many times, you know, the Word of God. Everybody desires to hear good things. I want to hear blessings. I want to hear the love of God. I want to hear the goodness of God. But the Bible says, behold, the goodness and the severity. But there's a lot of things in the Word of God that tells us we need to be aware of things. You need to be cautious of your soul. There's an enemy trying to destroy you. There's a world trying to destroy you. And even ourselves, if we're not stable in the things of God, we can destroy ourselves by just getting discouraged and everything. Be not weary in well doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Those verses, there's verses after verses after verses that give us warnings that we need to be receptive to the Word of God. Able to receive instructions. Are you able to receive instructions? Again, a lot of times I associate things on the job. You get some guys, you tell them something, and they just want to rearrange it. They want to do it their way. They want to figure it out their way. Are we able to receive instructions from the Lord, from the Spirit, through the preacher? Or is everything that we receive, we have to analyze? Now, I know the Word of God teaches us that we need to count the cost. I know the Word of God teaches us back in Isaiah, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. I know these things are there, but he's talking about a reasonable part where we're considering the things of God. Now, that's during salvation. That's when you're doing salvation. God doesn't want us to just hear something and get saved, and that's one of the seeds there. When it says, I believe it fell on the stony ground there, and it says it fell on the stony ground, and it took root and it grew up quick, but they didn't consider it. And they grew up quick, and the sun got hot, and the thorns and all came up, and they withered away. God wants us to count the cost. Are we analyzing everything, or are we receiving it with the goodness of God? James chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only.
Amen.
Don't just receive the word, but be receptive to it. Take the word of God and apply it to our lives.
Yes, amen.
Sometimes I try to think of things that are an example. I think sometimes some of the biggest difficulties there are sometimes, he says, pray for your enemy. That's a difficult thing. I know sometimes we can get down and pray, you know, remember brother or sister so-and-so. But there's different steps to that. We can say that. We can say that through a prayer, but then we meet them in things and there's a problem. Lord, I need grace to that. I need help for my enemy. It says, pray for your enemies and how's it go? Pray for your enemies and what's this, what's the other part of despitefully use you?
Bless them.
Right, bless them, but pray for them that for your enemies and bless them and despitefully use you. I can't remember that second part. You know, people aren't good to us. People aren't good to each one of them. But God says, I need you to be an example out there in the world, among the saints, among your family, and I'm going to allow you to go through some difficult times, and you need to know the Word of God. You need to not only read the Word of God, but you need to not only receive it, you need to accept it. Apply it to our lives. Put it in action. Be not just doers of the Word, or hearers of the Word, but be doers of the Word also, and not just hearers. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered in a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. We know this story. And here he says here, and looking at the thought of receiving, and Jesus came into the house of Martha. And it says Martha received him into her house. Sounds wonderful. You know, that's a story, a message among itself. Each one of us are houses. Our lives are houses. Are we going to receive Jesus Christ into our house? Or are we going to leave him standing at the front door, let him pass by, shut the door, shut the shutters? You don't see it too much anymore, but people, salespeople, you see salespeople walking up and down the streets, pull the blinds down, shut the doors, lock it, you know, go in the other room when they're knocking on the door. You know, we don't want to deal with that. Well, you know what? People do the same thing with Christ. When it comes to Christ, the spiritual way, they pull the shutters down, they shut the doors, and they go into the back room and hide spiritually. I don't want to be with Christ. I don't want him in my life. But Martha received him into her life. And to her house here, so to speak. Martha had a sister, though. Let's look at verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. Two sisters. One sister received Jesus. The other sister was receptive. One sister brought Jesus into her house. Martha brought him into her house.
received him in their house, welcomed him, enjoyed having him in her home. But there was another sister that found a little bit more importance, that she needed to be at the feet of Christ to hear what he had to say. We can all be that way. One of the seeds there, it says that the seed got choked out by the cares. There's not a one of us in here, no doubt, if we're not able to now, but at one time, we stay busy. We're all in an age bracket where we don't sit around. We don't sit around 40-year-old people playing on a tablet or video games. We were busy. We worked outside. We worked. We did things. We took care of homes. We took care of families. We did things that we had to do. We were always busy. Probably many of us still are. But there needs to be a recognized time where I need to spend some time with the Lord. Lord, I'm too busy to go to church. I'm too busy. I had a man tell me one time, we talked about going to church. He goes, I work, 6 days a week. He says, and Sunday's the day that I need to cut my grass, take care of the things in my home, those things and all. I've talked to even farmers that do the same thing. Well, I got to take care of the cows. I got to take care of this. 150 years ago, there were farmers, and you know what? They came to church. They took the time and went to church. They may have came, like you said, they may have came in their clothing and went back to milking cows. Whatever. It's what we have a desire for. Martha and Mary, two sisters, one received Jesus, the other was receptive. Verse 40 and 40 through 42. We'll start the whole thing again. Let's start at verse 38. And it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house.
Yes.
And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Yes. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou now care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Good. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, when you receive something, how many times y'all go out to the mailbox, and you get your mail, and you walk through, and you sort of, looking at it, this is junk. You may lay it on the table. That's junk. This is a bill or whatever. This is something. Those other ones may sit there for a day or two before you finally tear them up and throw them away. What's important to us? Mary found something that was more important. She not only received Christ, but she was receptive to what he had to say. Let me sit at the feet of Christ. Let me get there. Let me hear it. Let me apply it to our lives. Let me put it in working action in my life. There again, receiving to mean to give, to present with. I can give you something. I can present it with you. But to be receptive means to accept what you are giving me. A friend of ours, their daughter's getting ready to have a baby next month. They had a baby shower for her, and you've been in them before, or been a part of them, or given, and especially wedding presents and things. How many of you have ever gotten a wedding present, and sometimes you stuck it in the closet, and it's still there today? I know that might not be the case necessarily, but in the past, you pull it out, oh yeah, somebody gave me this for a wedding present 10 years ago, never used it. You received it, you took it, but it wasn't needful for you. It wasn't a use for you that you could find, so you weren't receptive to it, and you just put it away. Some things you get, man, I can use this every single day. This is something that I need. Well, let me tell you what, I can assure you Christ is something that you need every day. Amen. It's not something that you can put in the closet, put on the shelf, put away. It is something, the Word of God and the Spirit of God is something that you and I need every single day in our lives. Not only to receive him, but to be receptive to him. Jesus told Martha that Mary has chosen a good part. Yes. Mary has chosen a good part. I want to sit at the feet of Christ. I want to hear what he has for me. Amen. I want to hear. I want to hear. And that's why a lot of times when I preach, and I mention almost all the time, I mention, this is what Jesus says. I think it needs to be attended a little more than just everything else, to pay attention to what Christ says.
Amen.
We read in James back there, he says not to be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." You know, as Jesus walked this earth, there were many of them that received him. There were many of them that went after him. There were many of them that sought Jesus Christ for one particular reason. And he says there, he says, "You didn't seek me because you seen the miracles." Now, I realize that we live in America, and thank God for the benefits that we have. And there's not too many of us that probably have ever gone days without food. This probably wasn't that taste. He was feeding them an abundance. They never had just enough shy of food. When he blessed the little boy's fish, and what they took up was, I don't know how many times more than what they started with. And every man was filled there, had plenty to eat. But that's why they were following him. For the affections of for the purpose of the man, for the body, not the spirit. He says, "I'd rather you follow me for..." Let me tell you what, if we really seen some of the miracles that Christ would say, that'd be something I'd want to see. A whole row here of people. A blind man, someone that can't walk. Someone that can't hear, someone that can't speak, someone that is paralyzed, all these things. And Jesus went down and touched each and every one of them, touched each, and they were healed of their blindness, able to walk, able to hear, able to see. And Christ did all those things. He did all those things. He walked this earth. He raised it up the dead. He opened the eyes of the blind, those that were deaf. All those things, paralyzed that were in the bed, he raised them up. Every single one of them, he healed them all. The Bible says that he healed every sickness, I believe, in one particular city he went to. Everyone that was brought to him. Everyone. But that's not why they followed him. They followed him because they could get fed. Because they were worried about this body, not the spiritual. People hear the word, but do they do it? People hear the word, do they believe it? Do they trust it? Do they lean on it? Do they hold to it? My message, as I mentioned this morning, is our attitude towards receiving the Word of God. What's your attitude? God will test you to see if you receive it.
Amen.
And how.
Yes.
Yeah, He will.
God will allow each and every individual, and there again, I thank God that I have to leave all that with God. God knows every single soul upon the face of the earth. The Bible says the very hairs of their head I number. We couldn't even pick one individual out of here that has the least amount of hairs and probably count them. We don't even have that ability. We can't. God says, "I know." We can take the person that has the most amount of hairs, and God instantly tell you how many hairs. He cares. He knows details. He knows the very moment that he deals with a soul, and that soul recognizes it's of God. He knows it, and he marks it down in his books. And when they stand before him at the judgment bar one day, he says, "You're going to remember October the 1st, 2023, I dealt with your soul. You remember it," and it's going to be brought right back to the memory. And they're going to remember that God dealt with them, that God gave them the Word of God, they received it, and whatever they did with it. God knows exactly what he did, what they did with it. And even after we get saved, God says, "I'm going to still give you the Word." You say, "Well, I'm saved." What are you being receptive to the Word?
Amen.
I preach the Word of God. I bring some things. And especially as newborn Christians sometimes, as we first get saved, there's not a whole lot that we know and understand. And God reveals some things to us as we're ready. And I thank God that He knows those things also. He's not going to give us anything more that we can't handle. Bible lets us know that when we first get saved, he gives us the desire of the sincere milk of the word, easy things. But as we get mature a little bit, we start to grow, he gives us a little bit of substance, just like a child. You have a little baby, you give him water and milk and everything, and I think you even water the milk down. The formula, you water it down and everything. As they get a little older, what do they do with that? What do they do? Put a little cereal in there. Or I don't know what they do today, but that's what they used to do. But they put big why? Because the baby, the child needs a little bit more. He needs to sleep through the night a little bit better. They're getting hungry at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, if I give them a little bit of cereal in there, it satisfies their stomach. It satisfies their end. They're able to be a little more nutritious. Before long, they get a couple teeth in there. And you're starting to feed them some solid, soft foods. And they grow. It's the same scenario as a child. It is with a spiritual Christian. The same thing. When we get saved, God gives you some enjoyable, easy to understand things of God. And as you are receptive to those things and enjoy them and follow them, God says, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit more something to chew on. Do you enjoy that? That's why I said earlier, you may know the word of God from front to back. When's the last time you've asked God, Lord, give me something a little bit different? Give me something a little bit more. Give me some caviar every once in a while. Give me some lobster every once in a while. Give me some more things that are deep in the spiritual things of God every once in a while. Lord, I want to not only receive it, but I want to be receptive to it. God's going to see if we are. Jesus lets us know we need to be teachable. Every one of us need to be teachable. And that's a part of receiving. You know, I just mentioned that thought. You've just received it. Are you going to be receptive to it? I need to be teachable. You know, and even as a pastor, I need to be teachable. Lord, I need you to help me, to teach me. Teach me how to deliver the word of God. Teach me how to work with the word of God. Go back to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 5. At the same time came the disciples with Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child. You know, thank God he didn't get upset with him, and I thank God he doesn't get upset with us sometimes when we ask stupid questions. But at the same time, verse 2, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in his midst to them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted to become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child and shall be greatest, the same shall be the greatest in the kingdom. And whosoever shall receive such a little child in my name shall receive me." Are we teachable?
Very clear.
I've been saved 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 50 years. There's never a time where we're not teachable. Lord, help me. And I've said this many a times. When I got saved at 17, compared to where I am today, there was a lot of things back there that I didn't have to deal with today. And when I'm 17 or 25 or 30, I wasn't married then. And you know, when you get married, you have to learn some things. You have children to learn some things. They get the teenagers. You get older. Different. Every period of life, you have to learn some things.
That's the truth, brother.
Nobody's passed on yet in this room. We're all still here. So no matter what age we go to, we're going to have to be learn some things. We talked about Wednesday night, growing in grace, growing older in grace. It takes some, Lord, I need help. I need help for you to teach me some things. Are we teachable? And then he says here, talking about a little child, most of us have an understanding of a child. Children are teachable. Children desire to want to learn. They desire. Now they start to get to a certain age and that little joke that was there is when I was, what's the boy say? When I was 10, 12, 13, 14 years old, my father was dumb. He goes, but by the time I got to about 18 years old, he learned an awful lot.
Yeah.
Now, you just realize that he does have some wisdom. But we're the same way. Are we teachable? No matter what age we are. Because the Bible lets us know we can become lukewarm.
You know, Sister Ann testified about not able to travel and move like maybe she could years ago. Well, you know what? We could do that spiritually too. We could do that spiritually. We need to stay active. Our spiritual mind, our spiritual soul, we need to keep it active in the things of God. I really can't go. I got to depend on somebody to take me somewhere. I got to depend on somebody maybe to fix my meal. I have to depend on somebody. Well, I understand that, but long as you have your mind about you, long as you have your ability about you, we still need to come to a place, Lord, I need to receive the word and accept it. Not only just take it in, but I need to accept it. I need to apply it to my lives. We can become lukewarm. I mentioned that talking about sincere milk. I enjoy milk. But Lord, I thank the Lord, every once in a while I enjoy some good meat too, a steak, spiritually and physically. Are you receiving the word and applying it to your life? Are you receiving the word and applying it to your life? Not someone else's. Well, Lord, that message is good for that person over there. That message is good for that person that wasn't here. God brought it to you and I. Lord, I need it for me. I've always said, I've always used it in my life when I've come to the house of God, and I still to this day, and my life, and I, as I hear the Word of God preach, and I used it before I even become a minister, I hear the Word of God preach. Lord, what in the service do you have for me? It may not be the entire service, it may not be 90% of it, but I believe that there's something somewhere in the message that's for each and every one of us. You know how you find it? You got to look for it. You got to be listening. You got to be hearing. You'd have to be receiving it. You have to accept it. Are we receiving it? Are we analyzing it? Or are we applying it to our lives? Are you just receiving the Word of God? And we're here in Matthew. You know, sometimes I jumped down, looked around a little bit, just as an example here. Some people just receive it. Jump on down to verse, this is just an example here. Jump on down to verse 12. How think ye, Jesus says, how think ye, if any man have 100 sheep and one of them gone astray, doth not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Verse 13. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you that he rejoices more of the sheep than of the 99 which go on astray. You know, people read that and just close it up. You know, as I was, this is an add-on in my note from this morning, and as I was reading, I bring this thought, and I thought, well, what can I read? Just randomly read. You know, some people just, and I'm not necessarily against this, some people just open the Bible. I've said this sometimes, the daily bread. I'm not against the daily bread at all. But that shouldn't be our reading only. I read the daily bread, shut it up, and I'm done. I did my reading. I open up the Bible, and I read two or three verses of Scripture, and that's it. There's a different part of that. Reading it, receiving it, and accepting it. Are we accepting the Word? I thought as I went down through there and found that, with all Brother Burke, he always testifies this very Scripture here. Didn't do it this morning, though. I was waiting for you to do that, and I thought, well, I'm going to bring that thought out. But he always testifies it out. I thank God that I was the one, and every single one of us were that one of that 99. We got off the beaten path. We got out there by ourselves, and God left those 99 that were saved. And I want to add, I've read something a while back about this. He didn't leave us. He didn't leave those 99. What it says there, and David there, if you remember when David went up to the battlefront to fight Goliath, and his one brother or something said to him, he says, Who'd you leave the sheep with? He left them in control of some people. He didn't just say, okay, you all stay here, and went up there. He left them in the hands of other shepherds to take care of. Jesus didn't just leave us. He left those ones at 99 and the security of those that he needed to seek out you and I. To come and to find us. And when he found us, he gathered us up and he asked to receive us. And if we were receptive to him, he was rejoicing that we were able to come home and be saved.
Amen.
Are we reading the Word? Are we being receptive to the Word? Are we applying it to our lives? There were four different grounds, and all four grounds received the Word of God. But only one of those grounds applied it. Only one of those grounds applied it to their heart. I thank God I applied it to my heart one day. I thank God if you're saved this morning, you applied it to your heart. And it's precious to us. The Word of God. I thank God. There's a lot of times I thank God that we have the Word of God in our own language. I thank God that we can be here this morning, we can preach the Word, we can have the Word without the authorities coming in. I thank God for the blessings that we have. And for those that have given their life that we may have this Word, I thank the Lord for that. How are we doing? You're one of those four grounds. And because we have not finished our race, not necessarily. I mean, we may be that fourth ground that we received it. We are receptive to it. We're applying it. We're growing. We're having fruit. He says some 100 fruit, some I think 60, some 30. Some of us produce more fruit. Some of us are producing fruit. That's all God wants us to do, to produce fruit. But we haven't finished the course. We need to continue to do that all the way until the end. Till we hear him say, well done. Because we can get a spirit of not wanting to be receptive to the word for whatever reason. And a lot of us in here have been saved for a while. We've known many people that have done that. Been saved, sanctified, stood up in church, played a piano maybe, been in a choir, maybe even preached the gospel. Today, they are not even receiving or being receptive to any of the things of God. We need to be aware. You're going to receive the word. Will you be receptive to it? May the Lord bless you. Pastor, have a song.
Let's open our song book and turn to page 159. Page 159.
I will be ever all alone. Take all that I have, Lord, and use it for thy blessings. And the Lord bless you.